Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Small business owner, you're special among Americans. You are a latter-day pioneer of our society and truly one of America's heroes. Welcome back, heroes. It's 13 After. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us. And my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Please remember the name of the show and put the normal stuff on the front and back and check that out. Let me tell you who our guest is this hour. Eleanor Solomon, who's been with us many times before and always when the Federal Reserve Open Market Committee is meeting, is our guest this hour. And she is the author of Virtual Money, Understanding the Power and Risk of Money's High-Speed Journey into Electronic Space. Eleanor is one of the world's experts in electronic funds transfer. She is also a former economist with the Federal Reserve, and she is a professor of economics at George Washington University in Washington, D.C. Eleanor, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Always a pleasure.
It's good to have you with us, and Don Boudreaux is going to be with us, and we're having a little trouble hooking up with him right now, but I'm sure he'll be with us in just a little bit, and James will let us know when he's ready to join us. So let's just you and I start our discussion on the Fed. One of the things that's interesting is the timing of this meeting with regard to so many different things in the marketplace. It's October. October is always been sort of an ominous month, hasn't it, with regard to the capital markets?
Mm-hmm.
It's less than 3 months till Y2K, till the end of the 1900s at least. It's probably not correct to say the end of the millennium because it's not really the end of the millennium. That's not until next year, but it is the end of the 1900s and this century for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've got all that. And then they've got all these other things going on in the country, around the world, all these other indicators. They've got a lot on their plate, don't they?
They sure do. And, again, I think this will be a controversial meeting, even though the market seems quite confident that rates won't rise. The big surge in stock prices yesterday, especially the interest-sensitive bank stocks, and the fact that Fed officials for the last few weeks really haven't put us on warning for any increases in rates. They've been talking about productivity and all of the great technology investments that are going to hold prices down. So there's this background that would suggest quite strongly, and certainly has suggested to the market, that rates won't rise. On the other hand, some rather interesting things have been happening in the past few days. First of all, commodity prices, raw materials prices, are really jumping. Which is sort of an ominous side to it. And as people say, well, Greenspan always looked at gold, among other things, as a
gold
kind of
has made a significant recovery in the last couple of weeks, hasn't it?
As a kind of a precursor to brewing inflationary pressures.
Or also look at crude oil.
Exactly.
Crude oil is almost, it was at like 11 or 12 bucks a barrel a year ago, and it's up to, 21 or 22 now.
And these are things you look at first when you're at the Federal Reserve to see, forces pushing rates up.
Mm-hmm.
Manufacturing sector grew much sharper than expected. These are all data in the last couple of days.
Yeah.
To 57.8%, and anything over 50 would be considered expansionary. Even more ominous, I think the Commerce Department, and again, just the last day or so, has shown that personal income climbed in August more than expected, and their spending grew even faster. The spending of consumers, leaving the nation's savings rate, matching a record low of -1.5%.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, overheating. So that as far as I would look at this thing, despite what the market thinks and despite what the Fed hasn't said, I think that the fears that the economy are overheating ought to persist.
Well, obviously, the Fed takes a lot more technical approach to its decisions than the market does. The market's a lot more emotional about its decisions than technical, although obviously there are a lot of technical things involved in the decisions that investors make, but basically there's a lot of emotion. One of the things that I'm concerned about...
Herd psychology, as the great Cain said.
Exactly. No question about it. The thing that I'm concerned about is, in the past, you and I've talked about the fact that the markets have built in increases.
That's right.
In other words, if they were pretty sure that the Fed was going to raise rates, it's almost like, because of the way Mr. Greenspan has telegraphed some of their decisions a little bit, he's given the markets the opportunity to build that in.
Exactly.
so that the decision, when the decision day comes, mm-hmm. and they make that decision to raise interest rates or lower interest rates, whatever they decide to do, the market's really, so it's kind of old news to the market.
That's
and there's
exactly
no,
correct.
There's no big swings. Now we come to today.
Yeah.
And
new things happening in the last couple of days.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned that the market has not, is really, I think the market is basically totally convinced of, that
right.
it knows what's going to happen. And a lot of people are saying, and you just sort of did yourself, a lot of people are saying that the Fed may not be as predictable today as
exactly.
they have been.
Exactly. Greenspan's gone out of his way to sort of give hints. And he's pretty much followed up on all of these hints. You know, if I were at this meeting today, I would vote probably to take back the third of the three interest rates declines of last year. And I would say, well, if you don't want to do that, then at least let's give us a tilt toward higher rates so that the market will be, you know, on guard about this.
So you would actually, if you were there, you would vote to... You'd probably be on the side of voting to increase interest rates a quarter of a point.
I think I would say, look, the Y2K fears have kind of receded a little bit. We shouldn't be so scared about what's going to happen. I don't like what's happening to commodity prices. This is kind of scary. I don't like negative savings rates.
I've never heard you make this kind of a statement before.
Yeah, and I am not a hawk.
You've always been a little bullish about things.
Yeah, I am not a hawk with raising interest rates. As
yeah.
you know, I like to keep them low.
Right.
So, you know, if my colleague said, look, we can't upset the apple cart at this point. Let's mm-hmm. just keep rates the same. I'll say, fine, but let's adopt a pill.
Stand by, Eleanor. We've got to take a quick break. Folks, when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about what Y2K could have to do with this particular meeting. It's 20 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with Eleanor Sullivan, 888-822-8255. Give us a call. It's 24 after the hour, and I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. My phone number is 888-822-8255, and our website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. We are visiting with our very good friend Eleanor Sullivan, the author of Virtual Money, and she and I have just had a nice segment talking about what we thought the Fed might be doing, and we're going to continue to do that. We're also being joined by Don Boudreau. I promise you he would be here. Don is the president of the Foundation for Economic Education. Don, welcome back to the show.
Good to be back.
Say hello to Eleanor Sullivan.
Hello, Ms. Sullivan.
Hi.
Nice to meet you.
Very nice to meet you.
Don, Eleanor and I were just talking about what some of the indicators that were out there. Eleanor was giving us a little bit of an update on some of the key indicators, commodity prices, and we've been talking about the stock market a little bit, and some of the things that seem to be factors in the decisions that the Fed makes. And Eleanor had actually just got through saying that if she were there, based on all the things that she's seeing, and I've never heard her say this before, she's always been kind of bullish on the economy and bearish on raising interest rates, and she actually said that if she were there, she thinks she might vote to take back one of the quarter point reductions last year, or at least lean in that direction.
Well, I'm sure Ms. Sullivan has more specific knowledge about the details of commodity prices and the goings on at the Fed, but I can say that I've always been a tight money kind of guy, and in my view, the appropriate policy for any central bank to follow, including the Fed, is to keep the money supply as constrained as possible, adjusting it only for when it's very clear that the demand for money has risen.
Right. One of the things, and by the way, Don, one of the things I want to talk about later in the hour is a speech that Chairman Greenspan made last week to, actually I think it was on Thursday, to the Minnesota meeting of the Federal Reserve, and he actually talks like a, he sounds like a free trader in this speech. I think you'll be interested in that if you haven't already seen that. Eleanor, one of the things that we were talking about when we were in the last segment, one of the things we brought up was Y2K. I know I mentioned that. And here's the thing, Don, what I was saying was some of the interesting things that are in the marketplace today that are sort of unusual, or at least recently and certainly since the Fed's been in existence, because they've only been really in existence this century. If the Fed said, Eleanor, that they were going to, that they needed to raise rates, if someone said, okay, I don't know when we're going to raise rates, but we've got to do it this quarter.
Yeah, take back the third one.
We've got to do it at least one time this quarter. They may think they know what's going to go on with Y2K between now and the end of the year, but there could always be some things to pop up. And they're meeting in November, and they're meeting again in December. I don't think they want to raise rates either of those days.
You mean at the end of the year?
What did I say?
Yeah, I was just thinking.
I don't think they want to raise rates in November. I certainly don't think they want to raise rates in December. And so my point is if anybody up there says we've got to do it, we've got to take back at least one of the moves that we made last year, so therefore they better do it this month instead of November or December. What do you think, Eleanor?
I certainly would not raise rates in November or December either. Things are going pretty smoothly. The Fed is fairly confident that there won't be any disaster. On the other hand, one of the Fed governors, at least, I believe it was Governor Kelly, said, well, you know, I don't think this will be any worse than a bad, bad, bad ice storm, but that's bad enough.
Yeah.
You know, something you remember, but yeah, isn't going to mess the economy up for months.
What do you think, Don?
Well, I second that. I'm actually not terribly concerned about Y2K. Certainly, I don't share the concern that a lot of the more radical Y2K, I don't share any radical Y2K fears, but insofar as there are fears, whether the fears are justified or not, insofar as maybe any problems, there will be an increased demand for holding cash, and so raising the rates in December or even November would be much worse than jacking them up now.
Exactly.
Yeah. So therefore, if we all agree with that,
and the Fed's printed a lot of cash, $50 billion.
Yeah, they put enough for every house. Was it every household or every individual? I've forgotten to have $500 extra.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've forgotten. I haven't done the math on that, but they said that. But that was months ago. That was like 6, 8 months, 9 months ago that they did that. So of course the cash that's still in the marketplace, but that seemed to be awfully early to me for them to do that. But
they don't want to scare people unnecessarily.
Exactly. Stand by. We're going to take a break, folks. It's 29 after the hour. We're going to be right back with our good friend Eleanor Solomon and our other good friend Don Boudreau. We're talking about the Fed and what they're going to do today. 888-822-8255. That's our phone number. If you'd like to join us, weigh in on this topic, on this discussion, give us a call. We'll be right back. We are back. It's 33 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, a small business advocate. Thank you very much for joining us. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. Toll free coast to coast. If you're out of the country, if you'd like to join us, and you're somewhere else in the world besides the United States listening over the internet, here's a number for you, 781-828-4356. Don Boudreau, President of Foundation for Economic Education, is our guest, as well as our other good friend, Eleanor Solomon, who's the author of Virtual Money. She's a former Federal Reserve economist, and she joins us every time the Fed meets. We have different people to join Eleanor and I when this happens, and that guy today is Don Boudreau. Don, I'd like for you to take a moment and tell us a little bit about FEE.
Well, FEE is a nonprofit educational foundation. We were founded in 1946. And we're located about 20 miles north of Midtown Manhattan, and our purpose is to promulgate what we regard as an understanding of good, sound, solid economics, sound money, free trade, very limited government regulation, primarily through the competitive process rather than by government bureaucrats. And we do that through a monthly magazine that we publish. We do that through seminars. We do
the
that
Freeman.
Through the website.
The magazine's called The Freeman.
The magazine's called The Freeman, although the name will change in January.
Is that right?
To Ideas on Liberty. There's been way too much confusion over the past several years of our magazine with, you might recall, the Montana Freeman, an organization with whom we have absolutely no sympathy or affiliation. But the name, even though we've had the name since 1955, the name's been tainted, so we're changing it to Ideas of Liberty.
That's probably a good idea.
I think so.
Yeah. Eleanor, tell us where we can get your book.
Well, you can get the book at the leading bookstores, Barnes & Noble, Borders, or online.
It's called Virtual Money, folks. It's an outstanding document on how to understand how money moves through cyberspace. And as I mentioned, Eleanor is one of the world's authorities on electronic funds transfer. By the way, Don, tell our audience how they can contact you, how they can get a subscription to your magazine, your monthly magazine, which I am a subscriber to, by the way. Thank you very much for that, Don.
Oh, I hope you're enjoying it.
I am. I very much am. Go ahead.
We have an 800 number. It's 800-452-3518.
Mm-hmm.
It's 800-452-3518. Or you can visit our website at www.fee.org.
Okay. FEE.org.
FEE.org.
Okay. Eleanor, Don's organization, I think it would be safe to say that the Foundation for Economic Education is a group of folks who are free traders.
Absolutely.
Is that right, Don?
Absolutely.
And Eleanor, you're familiar with the speech, and as well as I am, that maybe it was the last speech that Chairman Greenspan made. It's on their website. It's on the Federal Reserve's website that he made in Minnesota to the Minnesota meeting. I guess it was the Federal Reserve of Minnesota last Thursday.
That's right.
And to me, this sounds like a speech that Don could have given. Eleanor, what do you think?
Well, I think so. Of course, Greenspan has always held these views that we should have free trade, as little regulation as possible. And I suppose he's changed them a little bit since he came to the Fed, because most people do change. But he's the most free market central banker we've ever had.
That's absolutely true, yes.
Don, I want to read something. I don't know if you're familiar with this, with the article, with his speech, but I want to read something. He says he's going to focus on issues related to international trade and technology. And here's a quote. I've got several quotes I want to offer you. This one is, "The evidence is overwhelmingly persuasive that the massive increase in world competition, a consequence of broadening trade flows, has fostered markedly higher standards of living for almost all countries that have participated in cross-border trade."
I would amend that only one way. I would get rid of the almost.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yes.
You know, the beginning of what is still, I think, the greatest book in economics, Adam Smith's Wealth of Nations, chapter one, book one, says that the wealth, prosperity, is the result of a division of labor. And the larger the division of labor, the greater the number of people we have participating in the economy, the more creativity we have, the more energy we have, and that creates wealth. And Greenspan is exactly right, and he's following in the noble footsteps of Adam Smith.
He adds this, though, that it might be a footnote to what you're talking about, or an addition to what you're talking about. By far the largest contributor to the growth of our price-adjusted GDP, or value-added, has been ideas, insights that leveraged physical reality.
Yeah.
Now, that's a modern day adjunct to what you just said. Adam Smith said. Would you agree?
Smith hinted at that, but certainly people in the 20th century emphasize it more for obvious reasons, because you know, particularly in the past 20 years, with the incredible technology boom we've had during that time, the importance of ideas and the ability of just one person with a very creative idea to increase the productivity and well-being of countless people is much more evident now.
Let me read to you what he said about what essentially is productivity. Aggregate value added by the farm sector has more than tripled in real terms over the past half century, but the number of hours required to produce it has fallen by three-fourths. And he goes on to say manufacturing has displayed similar results. Factory employment is down about 13% from its peak 20 years ago, but output of that sector has risen about 75%.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, here's the reason that I wanted to bring all that up. Eleanor, you've heard me say before that I wondered if the Fed, how much the Fed was really taken into consideration when they were wringing their hands over certain aspects of the marketplace that were, seemed to be old indicators, how much they were really taking into consideration the productivity gains that we've made in this country and around the world. And obviously, you know, I was just yeah. musing about that, but obviously the Fed really does take a lot of that into consideration.
It has been for several years.
Yeah, yeah.
But now particularly.
Stand by, folks. We've got to take a quick break. Folks, it's 40 after. We're going to be right back and continue our visit with Eleanor Solomon and our good friend Don Boudreaux from the Foundation for Economic Education. I'm Jim Blasting, the Small Business Advocate, 888-822-8255. We are back. It's 45 after, actually. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I want to remind you that on Friday, Mike Menzies, who is a small banker, an independent banker, is going to be joining us. He's the president of an independent bank in the Maryland area. Mike is going to be joining us to talk to us about banks and small business and how you should work, how small business owners and prospective small business owners should some of the things that you should be doing to work with your banker. And we'll also get Mike to tell us a little bit about how some of the things the Fed does affects him and his bank. We're visiting with Don Boudreaux with the Foundation for Economic Education and Eleanor Solomon, the author of Virtual Money, two friends of ours, of our show. And we're talking about the Fed. And Don, you've got a little bit of a controversial attitude about the Fed. I'd like for you to tell us about that now.
Well, while I certainly believe that Alan Greenspan is a great Fed chairman, I am very uneasy about having a central bank. As you said earlier, we didn't have a central bank until this century, 1914,
mm-hmm.
and 13, sometime in the 19-teens during Woodrow Wilson's administration. And you know, money is such an important commodity. And what happens if Alan Greenspan resigns tomorrow or is not reappointed, and we get someone who is not as intelligent or as responsible, or someone who's far more sensitive to the political winds and
exactly.
is willing to increase the money supply, use the money supply far more as a political tool. I think that's very dangerous, and that can, you know, too much inflation is a sure road to economic disaster. And so I would very much like to see the money supply taken out of political hands and returned to the private market. Let banks issue money competitively rather than have a central planning agency, in effect, issue that money.
What do you think, Eleanor?
Well, I think this question of political pressures is ever-present and a real danger. You know, I'm scared about somebody else following Greenspan. There's also this time lag effect where the Fed raises interest rates, the prime rate goes up, and then the effects filter down 6 months later. Friedman's, inside and outside lags.
Mm-hmm.
So these efforts of the Fed can be destabilizing and have been destabilizing at times.
Well, what would be, your alternative would be to have no central bank at all and have banks literally just sort of totally competitively in the marketplace.
Yeah. For the record, let me say that for your audience, that my research specialty is not money or banking, but I am trained as an economist, and I have very good friends who are specialists in this area, and I've read many of their books. And the proposal is called free banking. It doesn't mean that you get free checking.
It
means that there are no government restrictions on the ability of banks to issue circulating currency.
Okay, let me ask you.
And we've had long historical periods in various parts of the world where this has worked very nicely.
All right, let me ask you a question. A year ago, when there was the problem with in Asia. It seemed to be getting to be a fairly dramatic situation. The what was the name? Long-term management, was that the name of the company?
Long-term management capital.
Yeah, that situation happened about this. Wasn't it about this time last year, Eleanor?
Yes.
The Fed, obviously, it's obvious to me that the Fed took some steps mid-meeting cycle, to make some adjustments that sort of calmed some things down. What would have happened in that scenario without the Fed?
Jim, I don't know enough about that scenario. I mean, I know Greenspan arranged a meeting and provided facilities and calmed things down. I don't know. There very well could have been other large bankers or other financial intermediaries to mm-hmm. to step in. I certainly don't think that, that a government agency is.
Yeah, I agree. I thought that, you know, the fund should just fail. You know,
yeah, oh, absolutely.
And let's take our beating so that other wild speculative swings would be discouraged.
Yeah, that's actually, the, I think that was, I don't know if Ellen agrees or not, but that was the problem, I think, in Asia 2 years ago, the IMF and World Bank, mm-hmm. I think a lot of the Asian governments knew that the IMF and World Bank were standing ready to bail them out, and so they would get all the upside gain from risky ventures,
right.
And they would have, in effect, the American taxpayer foot the downside losses.
I'm mm-hmm. not sure at all if this is a good policy.
I think it's a very bad policy.
I was opposed to it.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, I was too, and it was interesting that happened. But to me, you cannot though look at that issue and not also think about what might have happened had had something not been done. That would have, you know, things might be different today. Stand by, it's 50 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Eleanor Solomon and Don Boudreau are our guests, and we're going to wrap up the hour with them when we come back after these messages. Stay with us, please. It's 54 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our good friend, Eleanor Solomon, the author of Virtual Money, a book that's available in bookstores and online. I recommend you check this book out, folks. It will tell you how your money moves around the globe. And a lot of other good things. We've talked about it on the show before. Virtual Money by Eleanor Harris Solomon. Check that out. Don Boudreau, president of the Foundation for Economic Education. They are free traders, folks. They believe that markets should be open to all. Would that be a fair way to say it, Don?
That's certainly fair for me, yes.
Okay. And we're talking about the Fed. That's the purpose of this meeting. This is our Fed Watch show. And I'm going to go first, guys. I'm going to make my comments about what I think the Fed's going to do. I think, Eleanor, you've convinced me by some of the things you said early in the hour. I was a little unsure to start with, but some of the things you reminded me about, some of the commodity issues and other things, and what the politicians may be up to with minimum wage increases, I think the Fed is going to say to themselves, we've got to raise rates one time this year. We've got to make sure that we can always take it back if we have to, but we cannot raise rates in November. We cannot raise rates in December, the closer we get to Y2K. So therefore, I'm going to say that the Fed will not only, I don't think they're going to indicate a bias toward raising it. I think they will raise rates a quarter of a point today. Don, what do you think?
Jim, I really don't know. The predicting, I've never been very good at predicting what the Fed will do. I hope they keep a very tight grip on the money supply, so I won't be disappointed if they raise the rates. I certainly won't be disappointed.
Okay. Eleanor?
Well, I would certainly vote for this, but I'd probably be voted down, and there'd be a compromise with a tilt. But who knows?
So you would actually, if you were there, you would vote to raise interest rates?
Well, I would have more information than I have now.
Yeah,
I might be persuaded not to.
Right. Okay. But with what you have now, you think you would... Don, tell us what you mean when you say you think that we should have a real tight money supply. Tell us what you mean by that and how that manifests itself in the marketplace.
Well, just very have a restrained growth in the money supply. I think Milton Friedman came pretty close to the truth when he said the money supply should grow only insofar as productivity grows. If money supply grows more than that, you have, as economists say, too much money chasing too few goods, and that
mm-hmm.
that creates inflation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very easy to enjoy inflation at its beginning stages because it feels as if you're wealthier. But when those price hikes start happening, and you get all these distortions in price level in different prices in the economy because of inflation, then you pay a real price in terms of foregone productivity and greater economic dislocation.
But Eleanor, if we don't have a central bank, as Don has suggested, and we have banks competing in the marketplace, doesn't competition tend to lower prices and therefore free up money supply? Isn't the reverse going to happen?
That's what scares me. There are no easy solutions.
Don, what do you think?
Well,
you've got about 20 seconds.
All I can do is say that we have some historical experience, particularly in Scotland in the 18th century, where free banking, no central bank with competitive currency issue, worked very well.
Yeah.
Fairly stable price level.
But those were simpler times than today.
Yeah, although I'm not sure that matters in this context, but it might.
That's going to have to be the last word. Eleanor, thank you for joining us today. Really enjoyed it. As always, you did a great job. We'll see you in November.
Pleasure.
Eleanor Harris-Solomon, ladies and gentlemen, the author of Virtual Money, the president of Foundation for Economic Education, Don Boudreaux. Thank you, Don, for joining us.
Thank you.
See you next time.
Goodbye.
Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember today, be guilty of committing a random act of kindness. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.